I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
You were the last good thing about this part of town.
Hey there. Welcome to The Alt in Our Stars, brand new weekly Billboard podcast for all things alternative and rock music. My name's Chris Payne. I'm a correspondent on staff at Billboard.com, and I write about alternative and rock music. And this is the first episode of my podcast here, so wish me luck. On today's episode, we have an interview with Fall Out Boy's Pete Wentz coming up in a little bit. And also, I'm here with Billboard's rock charts manager, Emily White.
Hello.
So this is my first podcast, and aside from appearing on my friends' podcasts, like Joe Lynch's Must Hear Music podcast, Jason's Pop Shop podcast, but both of us, Emily and I, we both did radio shows in college, so I think that's kind of like a nice lead-in to this
radio
podcast
pros,
stuff.
Radio all-stars right here.
Yeah, so I'm calling this new podcast The Alt in Our Stars because I want to talk about all kinds of alternative music, not just guitar music, although I'm sure there'll be a lot of that. But all different artists that sit outside the mainstream in all sorts of different ways. And this is Billboard, so I really want to relate it back to how alternative music comes to the mainstream, the relationship that's there. So I guess that's where the stars comes in with the Alt in Our Stars. And hopefully that name doesn't age too terribly. And also, I never saw the movie or read the book, for the record. Did you?
Wait, I keep getting The Fault in Our Stars mixed up with like the other teen movie that came out around the same time where a girl also was sick. Do you know what I'm talking about? There was like The Fault in Our Stars and then there was the other one.
Huh. I'm not very good with YA. There are people
I think I may
to
have
talk
seen The
to
Fault
on
in
staff
Our Stars. Either that or the other one, but I think I've seen it.
Was Shailene Woodley in it? The
no.
one the one you saw though then you didn't see The Fault in Our Stars.
My mistake.
So you can follow me on Twitter at @CPayneOnAPlane for updates on the podcast, or go to billboard.com and click the podcast button up at the top navigation bar there. So before we talk Fall Out Boy, I wanted to just sort of recap what we've been up to here. We're based in New York. We both live on the north side of Brooklyn, and we go to a lot of shows. So we wanted to talk about a few Williamsburg venues that are unfortunately closing down. Glasslands and Death by Audio. So Emily, you had a neat little experience with Death by Audio, so tell us about that.
Yeah, well, this past week has been Death By's last week of shows. Death By was the first venue I ever went to when I moved to New York, so special place in my heart. And I did get to go on Tuesday for the first night of Secret Headliners to see Future Islands. And that was pretty wonderful. Are you a Future Islands fan?
I am a Future Islands fan, but I'm kind of a newbie Future Islands fan.
Uh-huh.
So I really can't imagine what it would be like seeing them play a venue that size. Because I'm thinking when they came up in Baltimore, they were probably playing like the dingiest little venues like 8 years ago. And what you saw must have been like that.
Oh, yeah. I went to school in D.C. and so a lot of the music that I listened to was like DC bands and Baltimore bands. My college radio station tried to book them for a show when I was maybe a freshman or sophomore, but it didn't work out. But yeah, it was really wonderful to see them at Death By because that was one of maybe the first New York venue that they played, or one of the first. And so that was a wonderful show. There were maybe like 200 people there. So that was great. But then the last night ever was Saturday. And it was all top secret headliners all week, so I didn't know who was playing. And we went to stand in line at like 4:45 when the doors were opening at 8 and didn't make it in to see the show.
And there was, you were telling me there was like a big guest list, right?
Yeah, which I totally understand. Like, if it's closing down, like, it's a really sentimental moment, especially for people who ran the venue and bands who had played and friends and family. And I totally understand wanting to have a final night just to, like, party with your friends. But it would have been, like, so much better if they had made that clear.
Yeah.
Because I, you know, yeah, I got there at 4:45. I was in line for a long time. I was really cold. But the line behind me was insane. It was all around the corner, all around, like, past Glasslands, like, to the corner of North First, I think. And so, like, yeah, it was disappointing for me because I was, like, maybe, like, the 30th person in line. But then there were, like, hundreds of people behind me that didn't get close at all.
At some point, people just have to be, like, we do realize what the capacity of Death by Audio is. And look at the size of this line. Yeah. If we're past Glasslands, I don't think this is going to work out.
The other thing, I feel really bad for the people working the door, too, because they weren't, you know, the people who usually work the door at Death by, because they were all, like, taking the night off to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
And they did try really hard to turn people away once they realized that, like, oh, our guest list is long. We just let in the capacity of people. And we just, like, weren't. We just stayed there for another hour hoping that they would, like, let us in. So that was it was kind of sad. But if my last memory at Death By is going to be that Future Island show that I went to, that's okay.
Yeah.
So what do you feel about Glasslands closing as well?
Glasslands, I was just looking at their schedule for the rest of the year, which is going to take us to the end with Glasslands. I just want to get to see a few, or as many as possible. And looking at the schedule, there's Pains of Being Pure at Heart, Beach Fossils, Widow Speak, DuckTales. Those are all shows I'd like to get to. Mm-hmm. I got to see No Devotion play there a couple weeks back, so that was cool. It's I've been into Jeff Rickley's music for a long time because I was a Thursday fan growing up, but now he does United Nations and No Devotion. No Devotion is his band with the remaining members of Lost Prophets who are not in jail for terrible crimes, which is kind of an awkward situation, but I really like their music. It's a lot more of a kind of a dark new wave, New Order, Joy Division kind of vibe with their sound, whereas like United Nations is a much more like visceral, nasty, hardcore sound. So this, I think, kind of spans a lot of different genres of people who have been into Jeff's music in the past. But anyway, with Glasslands, it was definitely cool to get out there and check out that show. So are you planning on going to any of their last shows?
Yeah,
this month?
I probably will. It's kind of weird because when I first moved to New York, I lived right down the street from 285 Kent and Glasslands and Death by Audio. And so it was sort of one of those things when I first moved here and I didn't really have anything to do. I would just walk down the street after work and go to a show. And Death By was definitely the venue that I like went to the most, but also very sad about Glasslands. So I'll definitely try to make it out to some of those shows too. I did also get to see at the Future Island show, the Immaculates played, and Tim Harrington from Les Savifaves came on stage, and they did a cover of New York, I Love You
by LCD. LCD song.
And Tim had Suck It Vice written on his chest. So that was a special moment, too.
So someone who won't be playing the new Vice-approved venue that gets set up there inevitably in 6 months. With that black lips and Action Bronson opening bill or whatever.
Oh, has that been announced?
No.
Oh, no.
But it'll be
a Live Nation and Vice co-produced event space.
All counterculture-y and all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But anyways, speaking of counterculture, let's talk about the charts a little bit.
Oh, boy. Let's talk about some sales numbers.
Yeah. So in talking about the charts, we're going to relate it to Fall Out Boy because in a little bit we're going to have Pete Wentz on for an interview. So Fall Out Boy is interesting because I was a huge fan of them growing up, and then they split. Patrick Stump tried to do the R&B singer thing for like half a minute. It didn't work out. They reformed Fall Out Boy. I was worried about their legacy that it would kind of not work out so well and maybe come out as a novelty or just like a reunion, a cash grab kind of thing, but it wasn't that. It definitely looks like Fall Out Boy is going to have a nice little phase two to their career because Save Rock and Roll, the comeback album, did really well, and it seems like they've got some new singles in the rock charts doing well.
Mm-hmm. They just got their third top 10 on the Hot Rock Songs chart, which is our hybrid chart. So both Immortals and Centuries are doing really well.
What really interests me with Fall Out Boy now is how mostly like rock bands, and I'm going to talk to Pete about this, but rock bands tend not to do very well on especially the Hot 100, like the singles chart, especially new rock bands. And what Pete's been all about is, you know, he kind of calls out bands on rock radio for sounding a little too old-timey, kind of like they've been mining what's been popular for the last 20 years in rock music and just kind of repurposing it, not really doing anything original. I think he really realizes these days that to be relevant as a rock band, you kind of have to acknowledge that hip-hop and EDM are here and that they're bigger and kind of incorporate those into the sound.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So what did you think of Fall Out Boy's recent music? Are you a fan?
Growing up, like, I never was a super huge Fall Out Boy fan, so I'm a little new to it all. From a charts perspective, the fun thing about Centuries is that it samples that Suzanne Vega song, Tom's Diner.
Mm-hmm.
And it, like, brought that song back to the top 10 of our alternative airplay chart, which was kind of a fun fact, because that was number 7 like 24 years ago. Mm-hmm. And now it's back.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was pretty cool. The same thing, I mean, it is really cool to see rock bands having chart success, since it is, you know, not always as common as other genres.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Yeah, and their most successful single recently was My Songs Know What You Did in the Dark, Light 'Em Up. It peaked at number 13 on the Hot 100 when it was out in 2013. So yeah, they actually are one of these rare rock bands that have kept it going. Them and Paramore is another good parallel, mm-hmm. who have kept it going and kind of leading things for the genre in a lot of ways. So we'll turn things over to this interview we've got here with Pete Wentz. Pete Wentz from Fall Out Boy here. So you guys are pretty much wrapped up, done with the promotion cycle for Save Rock and Roll. So now that it's over, mission accomplished? Is it saved?
You know, like, the interesting thing about Save Rock and Roll is, like, I guess there were some parts where, no, I would say the mission is, it's the broader answer would be rock and roll doesn't feel saved. But I think that for us, it was never supposed to be a literal thing. It was always supposed to be the idea that, A, we're asking the question, like, is rock and roll like an idea and an attitude, or is it like this specific, like, these blues, you know, songs with these leather jackets played by a certain kind of band? Like, we were trying to, I guess, bring up that question. And I think that a lot of people have, you know, like, a lot of people responded to that question, and guitars on the radio, and should there be, and rock and roll should be like a dangerous thing that pushes boundaries, you know. And it's to me, it's sad, because, like, I grew up with it being that, and I mean, I guess it was even the tail end of it being that, but, like, it shouldn't be relegated to the corner of the room, like, in this dusty little thing that, like, you know, dads buy at Guitar Center. And our mission truly with Save Rock and Roll was getting kids excited to go see a band in arenas and amphitheaters again that is a contemporary band that's played on the radio right now, that's not just a band that, like, you know, put up, you know, music years ago or whatever. And that was the attempt, and so hopefully we got in the ballpark of it.
Yeah, and for someone kind of on the front lines there, why do you think it's so hard for bands these days, especially new rock bands, to get rock music on pop radio? Because it wasn't really like that when From Under the Cork Tree came out.
True, yeah, good point. So when From Under the Cork Tree came out, there was this amazing thing that could happen. Well, this is how it happened with Sugar and in general for that era of us, was that we put out Sugar, We're Going Down. There was, like, basically not a lot of reaction, you know, from the industry to it. And then our fans went out and bought a ton of the records. And then we put the video out, and our fans ran the video up TRL. And that basically forced modern rock radio to start playing it. And then as it went up on TRL, it was able to cross over to pop radio. And that was, like, an acceptable thing that happened at that time. It changed, though, in the way that, like, I think that at that point, you know, there was a couple of rock bands could be played at rock radio. Like, you know, at that time it was like Us and My Chemical Romance and All American Rejects and Green Day and Blink-182. There was a bunch of bands could get played at pop radio. Now there's, like, lane for, like, and I'm talking, like, real bands, as in, like it's not a, you know, like, there's different versions of bands, but we know, like, you know, a rock band or whatever. There's possibly one lane, half a lane. I think it's a really pop radio at the time. It just switched from being completely EDM dance-based to being, it's very rhythmic right now. You know, our song Centuries is gold. It's a gold record, but it's not shown by the way it's played on pop radio right now. Like, it still has to build up to that. I think that, to me, the only way that you're going to get played on pop radio is to play a certain pop radio game or to get some kind of movement behind you. I think, like, a band like the 1975 was able to get a movement and traction behind them, and that allowed that to happen. Like, I think that those are the only ways, and it is a lot harder, and unfortunately possibly laptop culture has made it, you know, easier to for producers to make songs without bands, unfortunately. But I do think, like, I talk about this all the time. We talk about this all the time with my friends, you know, like the next Nirvana or whatever. And obviously, like, times are ripe for that. I just don't think that it's going to come in the form of, like, Nirvana. It's going to be something completely different, you know?
Right, right. So you were taking it back to Fall Out Boy end of 2014, start of 2015. Tell us about this new album and what fans can expect.
You know, I think that every time we put out a new record, we've tried to change it up a little bit, you know, and both sonically and thematically. You know, when we went from Under the Cork Tree to Infinity on High, it was similar. And I think that with this one, we have maybe 80% of the record done and recorded. And I think that there's some of it that's vastly more aggressive than Save Rock and Roll. And I think also the perspective is, with Save Rock and Roll, I think it could have been, like, a one-and-done kind of thing. Like, I think that had there not been, like, a worldwide reaction to it, I don't know that we tour as a legacy band. And I think that now there's this infusion of energy, and we want, you know, I want to get played on all radio formats, and I want to our band to be able to play festivals in Australia and Japan and the UK and stuff. And I think we still need to prove that. I think that some people still could see it as a thing that just happened once, and that's what the record is an attempt at. You know, I'd say that one thing is it's more Fall Out Boy and less guest features.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and for you, like, lyrically, what's been inspiring you lately?
Interestingly enough, like, I feel like looking around the world, you know, like, I think that I've been inspired by. I was inspired when we were writing to write about what I saw going on, or my take of what was going on in Ferguson, you know. And I don't think that necessarily means it's, like, super political, but just writing songs about, you know, like, now that I have kids and stuff like that, it's like the idea that, you know, like, an unarmed kid can get shot, and the conversation is about whether he did something right or wrong, whether, you know, like, when it's that, you know, unarmed teenagers the uproar should be that unarmed teenagers shouldn't be getting shot, you know. And I think that will influence the lyrics. I also think that I have enough perspective on where we've been in the last year or so that that will influence it. Like, I think that the idea behind some of the songs are more addressing modern love, or like what's going on with my head and my life, than possibly Save Rock and Roll did. I think Save Rock and Roll was a little bit broader when it came to that, and was writing more conceptually.
Yeah, it's interesting talking about Ferguson, because Jason, our writer who you just met, talking about his nephews and the movie, he wrote a really good piece for us about how, really outside of hip-hop, musicians just weren't really touching Ferguson. So that's interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, it was, we were on tour this summer doing amphitheaters with Paramore, and I felt like it was, and New Politics, and I felt like it's your responsibility when you have a platform to be authentic and to stand up for people who are not being stood up for, you know? And so we were talking about it on stage, but at the same time, I never want to become a band that like is cramming political opinions, you know? Like,
right,
I just,
right.
You know, like, I think there's room for that. Like, good buddies are in Rise Against, and you know, like, I loved Rage Against the Machine growing up. It's just never been really what Fall Out Boy has been. Like, we want people to question, you know, but like never been trying to jam it. I think at the same time, like, there's certain things that are just that are issues of more of empathy and compassion beyond jamming a political opinion. Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of frustrating that sometimes people won't stand up for issues that they don't think could directly affect them.
Got it. Well, definitely excited for the new music. So yeah, thanks so much, Pete, for coming over.
Thank you, man.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.